Some world-class musicians across the region are teaming up to present a new concert series highlighting classic albums performed by local artists. Capitol Records Live debuts at 7:30 tonight. This Friday night.
Yes.
This Friday night, March 23rd at the GE Theater at Proctor's. Performing selections from the Beatles' White Album and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in its entirety, six unique acts will come together on stage to celebrate the work of the Fab Four. To tell us more, to tell us about those acts, and to tell us about the project in its entirety, we welcome Jim Murphy, Director of Marketing and Publicity at Proctor's. Jim, good morning. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
So this was all your idea.
It started with me. It's become a group think and a collaborative project since then. I spent most of my adult life and youth in the Syracuse area. And when I moved to this region about 12 years ago, a lot of great music, a lot of great venues, but not as much collaboration and celebrating the local music community. And when I came to Proctor's 2 years ago, I started floating this idea. And then we had a programmer come aboard, Sal Prizio, who had a lot of connections locally, and we started to talk about it being a thing. So here we are.
All right. So the idea is, and what you're doing, is bringing these six unique acts together. Let's talk about the acts.
Sure. They're all local. If you look at their music and their styles, they're all different. This isn't a classic rock lineup. This is not a traditional Beatles lineup. These are all acts that largely perform original music at various stages in their career. One of the better known acts is Wild Adriatic. It's a Queensberry trio, and they're celebrating their 1,000th show in April. They've tour the country. They tour Europe. I happened to see them recently in the Gulf of Mexico on a cruise ship.
Oh.
So they're one of the acts. Eastbound Jesus, they're Americana. They hail from Greenwich. It's a 6-piece band. They have a following throughout the Northeast. We have a hip-hop artist, an Albany artist named Clear Mind. We have a jazz, swing, and blues group called the Brian Brundage Collective. We have a jam band from Saratoga. They do a lot of improvisation, Let's Be Leonard. And finally, we have a young woman who performs as Girl Blue. Her name is Arielle Oki. And she does some bright alternative pop. I really like her. She reminds me a little bit of Lord and Haim, who've done great on the pop music charts and alternative music charts in the last few years.
So why these two particular albums? Looking at the Beatles catalog, but why these two particular albums?
Well, you know, we're hoping that this is the first of many things that'll look like this and be different from this, where we bring local musicians together. But you want to start off with a win. You want to attract an audience. And two things. One is most artists have an affection in some way or another for the Beatles. They may not perform them, but they certainly know the music. And secondly, the Beatles have a following. A few people have heard of them, and
when people
collect and play Beatles music, people tend to show up. So we didn't want to get too experimental or too out there with the first pass at this. We wanted to build an audience for it, and so we hit upon the Beatles.
When these groups come on, are they doing this is a crack individually on a song? Are they working together? How is that working out?
Good question. So I've seen this done a few different ways, but the way we're doing it is they're performing as their act. In most cases, they're performing two songs. We think it's going to take about a minute and a half for them to change around to the next act. And then the next act to perform two songs to get through each of the sets. So the first set is the Beatles selections from the Beatles' White Album. The second set is Sgt. Pepper's in its entirety. They'll all come together for the encore, which is Penny Lane.
Okay. And that is, so what went into, did they pick the songs or did you, or how did that work? Was a hat involved?
There was some of that with one of the sets and letting them pick, on the White Album. It's interesting, as I look at this, we've got a rap artist doing Rocky Raccoon. We've got Let's Be Leonard, that jazz jazz rock improvisational band doing She's Leaving Home. There's a lot of opportunities here for some interesting music. And, you know, from talking to several of the acts and also following what they're saying on social media about it, they're clearly just not coming in and trying to do the Beatle thing and give you a reenaction of what the Beatles did. They're looking for their own take on it. So they're spending some time on this.
And I would think it would be exciting for them because they get to do this great music and also an introduction perhaps to a different audience that may be a fan of one of the other groups that they get to introduce themselves to.
Yeah, and one of the things that, you know, warmed my heart, which is exactly what we wanted, is in a couple of social media posts, I saw them excited about just being in the room with other musicians that they don't normally collaborate with, and that's what we're looking for. And, you know, the goal is to evolve this into other things down the road.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Do you have a grand vision here?
There's no grand vision. We wanted to do this to, take the first step and to gauge the interest. I grew up in the Syracuse area. And going back to 1992, they started the Syracuse Area Music Awards. They call it the Sammies. And from that evolved all kinds of other collaborations. There's something called Beatlecuse that a guy named Paul Davey does every year. There's been collaborations around melodic music like The Byrds and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. There's been a classic live album series over there and so on. And what I see is iterations, some different musicians and different promoters and stuff taking ownership and going off and doing another thing and another thing. And so you go to these things and sometimes there'll be 60 musicians together and they all know each other and they're all celebrating each other and they're all, inviting people to come to their gigs to kind of collaborate on some songs with them and stuff. And it just kind of grows. And that's what we're trying to get going here. Proctor's is all about, from a regional perspective, collaboration and celebration of local artists. We hadn't gotten into the local music bit yet, but it makes sense now. We program all the music out at the casino, live music out at the casino. We have Universal Preservation Hall coming online in about a year and a half, which is a 750-seat venue, which is perfect for, this type of thing. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we have GE Theater over Proctor's where we're doing this event, which is, again, perfect for a local music event. We've done some things before. We've had other acts perform there who are from the region, but we haven't done this yet.
Here's a question that may be in a little in the weeds, but mm-hmm. I find it interesting, which is what kind of rights do you have to get to do this kind of thing from the Capitol catalog?
I let our programming guy handle all that. Certainly local musicians perform this stuff all the time, and this type of thing doesn't go up to Paul McCartney for approval. We're not recording it.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
We're not recording it. We're not trying to make money off of any, DVDs or anything like that.
Okay. So it's not something you have to go to Capitol saying,
yeah,
hey, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've tried to stay away from, using the Beatle name other than to say we're playing these albums. But, in every market, not every market, but many markets, this kind of thing has happened. I've been down in Nashville. There's a group called the Long Players, founded by people, including somebody in the E Street Band, who perform regularly. They've done over 60 albums together. And in Syracuse, again, there's a bunch of events like this in other markets. So it's this thing that's out there. It's local musicians getting together and celebrating things that are commonly known to them and the audiences. You do this long enough, you can start going some interesting places. I saw a group of musicians last summer do all John Hiatt show, which, is a favorite artist of mine, but he's not terribly well known, but they've developed such an audience for this stuff. You can start to go out and draw people in for something like that.
Given that the bands themselves are so eclectic, I assume you expect an eclectic audience.
Yeah, there's going to be some folks who grew up on Beatles music and go to all the Beatles things like Rain that we have at Proctor's. They're going to be people that are fans of some of these artists who may not have been terribly exposed to the Beatles music. And then there's, it's going to be some people in between, like myself, who love the Beatles and love local music. So,
well, let's just talk about that for a second. Because, obviously, if you could put your finger on this, everybody would be making a lot of money. But
right.
what is it about this catalog that the Beatles have made that allows there to be this eclectic a group, and everybody has something to say about it? In other words, that it is pliable enough to be able to be transformed by these various voices.
You know, some of it is, simply, Beatles' music's always been out there, whether it's the BBC live albums coming out a few years ago or the documentaries or all the other things. So just in the last year, there's a new Beatles release, Live at the Hollywood Bowl. The Beatles are always remarketing and repackaging stuff and keeping out there. The Cirque show with Beatles music. Some of it is, I'm just shocked. I have kids in their early mid-20s, and I go to a lot of things that they go to, or I hear about the things they go to. And it's interesting. And, you go to places where a lot of young people gathering, and they're listening to their parents' music. They're listening to the Allman Brothers or the Beatles or whatever. And I think when the kids, my kids, kind of taking a personal view on this, when they were 15 or 14, 13, they weren't interested in the Beatles in any way. And then all of a sudden I started hearing Beatles music in the house, and I wasn't playing it. at some point, I think they realized, that this was really a unique doc with just terrific music. Now, admittedly, not everybody's a Beatles fan, and some people have a different take on them. But they have just this they're going to be around hundreds of years. People may forget who U2 or some of the other acts of the day that were really big were, even somebody like a Prince. But the Beatles, they're going to be talking about like Beethoven and Mozart and everyone else in a couple hundred years.
Capitol Records Live debuts at 7:30 p.m. on Friday night, March 23rd at the GE Theater at Proctor's. You can find out more information by going to proctors.org, proctors.org. Jim Murphy is the Director of Marketing and Publicity at Proctor's, and I thank you very much for being with us. Have a great event. It sounds like an awful lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it. Hope you join us. Thank you.
Sounds great fun. Thank you. Again, Capitol Records Live debuts 7:30 this Friday night, March 23rd at the GE Theater at Proctor's, proctors.org for more information. You can find out more information on our website as well, wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.